while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I feel the sense of the Lord here in this place from the worship that went on. That's why I sang this. I am trembling because I can see and feel His presence here. So if you are in the same vein with me, receive from the Lord this time, even before I start bringing you the word that the Lord has given me. If there is healing that you are looking for, may the Lord heal you. If it is peace that you are looking for in your life, let the peace of the Lord transcend your heart. If it is provision that you are looking for, let the Lord provide for you now. May you leave this place not the same. The synopsis for today's message says, when following manufacturer's instructions, it is important that we check where we are on each step of the instructions or we go wrong. Well, pause and pray. But you wouldn't believe it. My children call me BBC. And not because I talk too much, but because BBC means born before computers. As I was coming here, I was even given the headphones and the mic to talk through, put it on my head and talk through, but I even don't know how to use it. Now, my children would never accept this because give them any equipment, they never read a manufacturer's instructions, straight away, and they're using it. While I will have to sit down and read step by step before I can do anything. It is very important for us to press pause and pray. The devil's strategy of attack is always sneaky and sly. He will attack you when you least expect and when you are vulnerable. You may be able to handle a frontal attack. When somebody is coming to you directly, yes, you may be able to handle the person. But if the attack is sneaky, behind your back, it is difficult for you to see what they are up and about to do. Do not be deceived by appearances and utterances. People may come to you in a very nice manner. People may look to you to be the perfect persons that you ever meet. But behind the scenes, they are the other way around. The clandestine approach of the Gibeonites to the great commander Joshua is a very important subject for all of us to think about and to learn from. I remember a story about a consultant, a business consultant, who was approached by a downsized executive with the question, "Can you teach me to make big money in consulting?" asked the executive. "Absolutely," said the consultant. "How much will it cost me?" "That's my trade secret," said the consultant. "I charge by the question." "And how much do you charge?" 100 cedis. That is Ghanaian cedis. "Sure," said the consultant, "but you realize That is your faith question. I don't know if you got it. This is a very sly consultant. How many questions has the executive asked him? He's only asked 4. But because he went on asking questions, the consultant says he's asked 5 questions and he's going to charge him that much. I mean, that is how the Gibeonites approached the Israelites. Joshua, that we know of, is no ordinary man. He was the second in command to the great and iconic leader Moses. Joshua was witness to some of the awesome miracles in the Bible, the parting of the Red Sea. He had fought many battles and won many battles alongside Moses. But did Satan know of his weakness? Yes, Satan did. He knew how vulnerable Joshua could be. Listen to what the Gibeonites said. Oh, yes. We know about the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard a report of him and all that he did in Egypt. The devil's strategy is always sly, and he will attack you when you are vulnerable. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a lion looking for someone to devour. He comes in a sly way. Well, the Gibeonites came to Joshua in a sly way. While the other kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hilly country came to fight and attack Joshua, the Gibeonites used old sacks, old wineskins, patched sandals, torn wineskins, dry and moldy bread instead of weapon. Beyond their deceptive appearance, they simply came lying. When asked, where have you come from? We've come from a far off country. Where have you come from? We've come from a very distant country. Where have you come from? We come from far, 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 far away. They never answered the question, where have you come from? We've come from a far away country, but we have come because we are your servants. That is a very deceptive way. And because of this, the Israelites tried their bread. And they saw that it was moldy and dry, like what you would expect if somebody had come from a far, far, far off place with bread. And then they made a treaty with them. When it really mattered that they should have looked for the Lord in this, they didn't. They just went on and made a peace treaty with the Gibeonites. Even though the Bible tells us that God has told them in Exodus 23, verses 23 and 24, that they should never make any covenant with the Gibeonites. Joseph fell to the trick. In verse 14 and 15 of the text that was read to us today, The men of Israel tasted the bread, but they did not ask the Lord what to do. So Joshua went ahead and signed a treaty of peace with them. Press pause and pray. When the leaders err, the whole followers suffer. When the fathers err, the whole family suffers. When the pastors err, the whole congregation suffers. It is therefore paramount to consult God in everything that we do. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What we're dealing with is not just the things that we see. There may be spiritual things, and it is only the Lord that can reveal that to us. Joshua's, we know that Joshua's fellowship with God was nothing like what Moses had with God. Moses' relationship with God was for simple and small things. He consulted God in everything. That's what Moses did. That even on one occasion, he was able and bold enough to ask the Lord to show him his face. The Lord asked him to turn around and not face him directly. And then later on asked him to turn back around and see him. And Moses saw a bright shining light in front of him. It was so bright that it was blinding. He couldn't even see it. God only showed him a small aspect of his presence. And that when Moses went back into the camp, he was glowing with the brightness of God, so much that the people could not look at his face, that he had to cover his head with a veil to hide the light that was coming from his face. What about the relationship of Joshua and God? We know that in the case of Joshua, it was always God who initiated speaking with him. Joshua didn't go to the Lord to ask, to inquire. Anytime we hear of Joshua has done a great thing from the Lord, it was a direct communication from God to him. He didn't ask for it. Perhaps the only account that we know of Joshua asking God for something was when Achan sinned in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, and when he summoned the sun to stand still in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. This time in the life of the Israelites, when it mattered most, Joshua and company failed to see God or inquire of him. Joshua was a brave man, a brave warrior, one of the greatest warriors of Israel. He was too bureaucratic. He was action oriented and a real professional. But what he needed was to find God in all that he did. Hezekiah prayed on his birthday. When Isaiah, the prophet, went to tell him that, yes, God says you are going to die, Hezekiah heard the news and said, "Ah, Lord, remember, I beg you, that I have behaved faithfully and with sincerity in my heart, in your presence, and done what you regard as right." And he wept. Even before Isaiah left the palace, the Lord spoke to him and said, go back to Hezekiah. So Isaiah turned round, went to Hezekiah and told him, the Lord says you will not die. Not just that, the Lord added another 15 years to his life. Pause and pray. When Hezekiah prayed, God heard him. A ridiculous thing happened in the life of Daniel when they were in captivity in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he summoned all his interpreters to give him the meaning of the dream. Not only that, he made it even more ridiculous. They should tell him what he had dreamt and explain to him what the dream meant. Otherwise, he would kill all of them. When Daniel heard this, he and his friend Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah went to pray. And the Lord revealed the dream to Daniel with its interpretation. When Daniel gave the dream's meaning, he and his friends were then promoted to powerful positions in Babylon, in a pagan country. And Daniel occupied an important position which helped him to see over three successive kings that came after Nebuchadnezzar, portraying what the Lord is and how good the Lord is. Pause, pray. Pause and pray. Hannah prays for a son, though she was barren. Every year, when Elkanah went up to sacrifice, he will give portions of the sacrifice to Hannah's rival, Peninnah, who had children. He will give portions to Peninnah and to the children as well. But for Hannah, he will only give two portions because Elkanah dearly loved Hannah. Peninnah ridiculed Hannah. It was such that one day she couldn't bear it. So she went into the temple to pray. Sorry, I'm a bit dry. And while she was praying, Eli, the high priest, saw her mumbling, and he thought she was drunk. And when she confronted Hannah, Hannah said, no, I'm not drunk, but I am praying to the Lord. Lord of hosts, should you condescend to notice the humiliation of your servant and keep her in mind, instead of disregarding your servant and give her a boy, I will give him to the Lord for the whole of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Barren and desperate, Hannah prayed to God for a son. God heard her prayers and answered by giving her Samuel, whom we know became the greatest prophet of all, who spoke directly to God throughout his life. And God not only blessed Hannah with a son, God gave her three more sons and two daughters. pause and pray. The Lord hears our prayers. Elisha had become an enemy of the king, and so the king asked soldiers to surround the city that Elisha was in, find him and kill him. Elisha's servant panicked. We are going to die. But Elisha prayed to the Lord to open the servant's eyes. And the servant saw the host of the Lord's army that has encircled around him. And he was calmed. Prayer works. So pause and pray. Jairus asked Jesus to heal his daughter. Then the president of the synagogue came up, named Jairus, and seeing him fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is desperately sick. Do come and lay your hands on her, and she will be well." Jairus was the leader of the synagogue. At this time, the Jews have not accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior. Jairus risked everything, his leadership in the synagogue, to go to Jesus, whom they haven't accepted, and asked him to pray for his daughter. While Jesus was going to him to his house, Jesus stopped on the way to heal another woman who was unwell, who was sick. When they got to Jairus' house, his daughter was dead. But Jesus healed her, brought her out of the dead. Imagine what a testimony this would have been to the Jews. Pause to pray. A thief is saved on Calvary. Jesus was crucified between two thieves. While one ridiculed him, the other begged for forgiveness. There and then Jesus said, "Tonight, you will be with me in paradise." One of the most amazing things that can come from prayer is the cleansing of the soul, forgiveness of sins, and the promise of eternity to our soul. Prayer is more than just talking to God. It is a life-altering experience meant to be enjoyed daily. So with every day, remember to pray to the Lord. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Press pause and pray. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your plans straight. Press pause and pray. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Press pause and pray. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, And his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles, all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Call on me, I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Press pause and pray. When all is not as it should be, pray when the doctor's report is not good. Pray when the illness is not going away. Pray when the marriage is on the rocks. Pray when the relationship is not as it should be. Pray when the bills are overwhelming. Pray when your job is under a threat. Pray when the children are getting out of hands. Pray when your family is under financial threat. Pray when the things that surround you are unbearable. Pray when you are found in a desert place. Pray when you are walking through the wilderness. Pray though you are on the road that is marked with suffering. Pray though there is pain in the offering. Press pause and pray when all is as it should be. When all is going well, press pause and pray. Pray when your blessings overtake you. Pray when happiness abounds in your life. So pray when the sun is shining on you. I will provide for their needs before they ask, and I will help them while they are still asking for help. So let us press pause and pray.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.